Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in. Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this snowy Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. And we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend, John McClain, who is a columnist for GallerySports.com. John, good morning. Merry Christmas. How are we doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Merry Christmas to you, and thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking time to be with us. So John, I want to start on this front because you're as familiar and as plugged in with the Titans franchise as anybody. Just what do you make of the past 3-4 weeks with this team? The decision of Amy Adams Strunk to fire John Robinson, the losing streak that they've been on, and now the absolute dogfight that they're in with the Jags to win the AFC South. What do you make of what the past month has been like for the Tennessee Titans?
Well, like everybody else, I didn't know what to make when John Robinson was fired. It caught everyone off guard. I saw Amy's statement, saw her interview with Teresa Walker, and it didn't really shed any new light for me about why she would make that decision. Now, of course, they've got to find somebody, whether it's on the staff or it comes from another organization, but it caught everyone off guard. And when I look at the Titans, we talked about this the first time. They are not the same offense. And, of course, they got a lot of injuries. But A.J. Brown, the trade of A.J. Brown, took a big chunk out of that. You had a receiver, had to be doubled every time he stepped on the field. I know the Texans, he had burned the Texans big time. And they were celebrating when they saw that he was traded. And they haven't been able to compensate for that loss. So you take a big chunk out of the offense in general, in the passing game in particular, it's going to hurt. And then when you're missing starters in the offensive line, I think, what do they have, 3 out counting Taylor Lewan, and your offense now is built around Derrick Henry in the running games. The running game and really good defenses, of which the Houston Texans are not, of course, can put 8 guys in a box and contain him and dare Tannehill to throw, but the passing game just doesn't float the boat anymore, and there's so much pressure on the defense. So they're playing a lot of close games, and it doesn't surprise me they're in a losing streak based on their offense. And now with Malik Willis there, I'm writing a column right now about Malik Willis and the Texans pass defense, and of course Derrick Henry going for a 5th consecutive 200-yard game, and that's all they can do. Well, the Texans can't stop him, and maybe teams with better defenses can contain him and force Willis to throw the ball. I'd put 8 guys in a box every time and just dare Malik Willis to throw it. If I were the Titans, I'd do, Ryan Tannehill used the play action game to perfection. Willis can't throw very well. So I would do play fakes to Henry and have him run around end.
You got Joe on mute. There we go.
Got me on mute. Oh, boy. Sorry. No, I agree, John. We've talked a lot
first
about
time,
that.
Joe. Read option.
I finally made a mistake on this show. It's been years. We've talked about that too, John. Read option and trying to use what he does well as much as possible. I think we're looking at a doozy tomorrow. But the bigger picture, John, of this division, I think we're looking at right now, and of course the Texans are going to have their quarterback of the future soon enough, but I think we may be looking at an era of Jacksonville, being the best team in the AFC South. Do you agree with that, and what do you make of Trevor Lawrence's development and the job Doug Peterson has done this season?
You got to write off his rookie year because of the Urban Meyer fiasco. But bringing in Doug Peterson and a former quarterback who knows what it's like to play the position, and not counting last night, but in the previous six games, they were 4-2. He had 14 touchdowns and one interception. Now, the Jaguars are the only team in the division who has their quarterback. And before I anoint them as the favorite, this is the first time they've won three in a row since 2017. We all anointed them in 2018 after they took the Patriots to the mat in the AFC Championship game. And then a problem arose. Guys wanted to get paid, and they didn't want to pay them. So as they get good in the future, will they start paying their players where they all don't want to bail on them? You know, if you go back and look at that great defense Tom Coughlin had in 17 and where they all ended up, they just couldn't keep them. But I think they will be the favorite next year because of Lawrence, and they should be. They have a good running game with Travis Etienne. They built their offensive line. There was a stat last night. They're the only team with three receivers with like 700 yards and 65 catches, and all of them were free agents. You know, in the past, they've tried to win March. Well, now it's working at this point where they're 5-2 over their last seven games, and Trevor Lawrence has been great, as he should be. He was a generational quarterback, best since Andrew Luck in 2012. And what a generational quarterback means is a guy from the time he stepped on the field as a freshman you knew would be the first overall pick whenever he came out. And Luck was that way, and Lawrence was that way. So they're getting the kind of consistent production now that they expected when they drafted him. And I suspect he's going to be great for a long time. And we'll see if the franchise can keep up, because they certainly haven't in the past.
John McClain with us here on Robbie and Rextro. So, John, from an outsider's perspective, certainly two games in the last 2 weeks for the Texans that have been closer than I anticipated, or I think most anybody anticipated. What have you seen out of Houston in the last couple of weeks that's allowed them to be as competitive as they've been?
Well, I thought those games were going to be so close. I picked the Cowboys 42-13 and the Chiefs 37-10. And they lost by four, took the Cowboys to the last series, and then lost in overtime to the Chiefs when Davis Mills lost a fumble trying to run. And I think mainly it's those teams not being able to get up for the worst team in the NFL. They were missing six starters Sunday against the Chiefs, including four on offense. Their running game was built around Royce Freeman, who'd been on the practice squad and hadn't done squats since his rookie year with the Broncos in 2018. He carried 11 times, averaged 4.6 yards a carry. But here come the Titans with a great run defense, so they'll shut down that part. One of the things they're not going to be able to do, in that first game when the Titans won 17-10, you know, people look back on that, oh, the Titans only beat them by seven. Well, the Titans physically abused them and embarrassed them, and what they did on the field, they tried it off the field, that had been arrested. And so the score was not reflective of how Tennessee dominated that game. And it was the first really bad game their rookie left guard, Kenyon Green, had. Jeffrey Simmons just worked him over. Well, this past week, Green was out, and he's out again. They moved right tackle Titus Howard to left guard and put in Charlie Heck, who's been a off and on starter. This is his third season. And their offensive line is better than it was with Kenyon Green. They haven't given up on him. I mean, it was first-round pick. But so I don't think they'll get dominated like they did in the first game. And if I were them, you know, I think I would try to force him to throw, Willis to throw the ball. But then again, I don't think it matters. When the Titans play the Texans, they could be playing with probably eight guys on offense. And as long as they gave the ball to Derrick Henry, it wouldn't matter. On one of my shows last night for the Titans, Texans Radio Network, they said, throw out a stat in this game that would give the Texans a chance to pull an upset. So I threw out this stat, 21-86. That was the last time Derrick Henry did not rush for 200 yards against the Texans. It was the first game in the series in 2019 when the Texans were on their way to the divisional round of playoffs. And he carried 21 times for 86 yards. So that's not going to happen. But I threw that out there. I said if he did that again, Texans would have a chance. They won that game over the Titans 24-21. But, you know, if he has to get the ball 35 times, they've got to stay ahead of the Jaguars. They've got to win this game. And I think they will. I know the spread's down to 4. I don't know if the Texans can come within 4. But it's a must-win situation for Tennessee going into the next one that's so important.
Yeah, I hear everything you're saying, John. The Titans are going to have basically a practice squad. Potentially, there's a couple guys are questionable. They might have a practice squad offensive line out there, and it's been bad as it is. But you're right. I mean, it was such a physical beating last time. What has, you know, like you said, the last two teams have probably taken them lightning. But I'm still impressed with how hard they've played, and a team that, you know, basically has been relegated to the top pick probably for a long time. I've still been impressed from afar with how they've competed. Is that any reflection? Do you think Lovie Smith gets any credit for that? And what do you think things go with him from here?
Everybody here wants him fired. The problem has not been Lovie as a head coach or even defensive coordinator. It's interesting. Their last against the run, they give up 167 yards. If Derrick Henry was limited to 167 here, they'd go, wow, they finally stopped him. And they've only given up 13 touchdown passes, which is second in the NFL. And their pass rush is okay, but mainly teams run the ball against them. And so Pep Hamilton, the offensive coordinator, has done a terrible job. He's public enemy number one here. He coached Davis Mills last year. Tim Kelly was the coordinator. Everybody wanted to get rid of Tim Kelly because he was tied to Bill O'Brien. Now people are, Tim, please come back. And because Davis Mills, as you guys saw in the last game last season, when he was tremendous against the Titans, and the Titans won by 3 to clinch home field advantage, he hadn't come anywhere near that this season with Hamilton as promoted to coordinator and the play caller. He's been terrible. His personnel grouping, some of the decisions he makes on play calls, we're just like, oh, my God, where does he come up with that? And the problem is if they bring back Lovie Smith, how are they going to get a good offensive coordinator to come in here knowing he can be fired in another year? And people say, well, they got 11 picks. They got 2 number ones. They're going to take a franchise quarterback. That would be appealing. It'd be appealing if you'd give the guy a 5-year contract. But I don't think it is appealing. So if they were, after they've looked better in these two games, if they were to win, say, 2 of the last 3, maybe Lovie would come back. But I still don't know how you correct the problems with the offense. I don't think Tim Kelly's going to be coming back to Houston. And they would have a hard time to get a legitimate play caller to come in here, unless it's somebody thought, I'll go in there and do a good job, and then I'll get that head coaching job. That's not the way they think. They will play hard. They've got so many starters out on both sides of the ball. You know, when your running game is reduced to Royce Freeman, Rex Burkhead, and Dario Gumbawale, you don't have a running game. And then they've been missing their 2 starting receivers the last 2 games, Nico Collins and Brandon Cooks. They've been playing backup receivers. Their offensive line's played well. Laremy Tunsil's played great at left tackle, starting in the Pro Bowl. Davis Mills had 2 touchdown passes and touchdowns rushing against the Chiefs, but his fumble set up the winning touchdown in overtime and offset that performance. But and the defense is all right. They don't have as many injuries, but I think this will be close. I always like to say low scoring and boring, which sounds like most Titans games. And if the Texans are low scoring and boring and come close, people seem to be impressed because, man, there was a stretch starting with the Titans when the Titans physically beat them up, where they got physically beaten up by several teams that had great defensive tackles, all started by Jeffrey Simmons.
Well, John, you're always very kind with your time. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Anytime. Love coming on with you guys. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and your listeners.
Absolutely. John McClain, the legendary John McClain, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and the Texans. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. You're still looking for Christmas gifts? Check out Nashville's Best Deals and get half-off gift cards for Old School Pizza, Nashville B-Cycle, and more. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 9:30, so looking forward to that. Thanks to John McClain for joining us in the last segment. Joe, there's nobody that can paint the picture, that can describe the state of the Texans franchise quite like John McClain. I enjoy it thoroughly each and every time.
Yeah. Even better in person, although his tweets are also very special when the Texans are turning in a Texan-like performance. He is a must follow this. And he's one of the reasons I hope Twitter doesn't implode, because I enjoy John McClain tweets during a crappy Texans performance.
Yes, he is.
And there's a lot of them lately.
There are a lot. And the question is there going to be any tomorrow? He seems to be pretty confident that the Titans are going to win and struggle to get to whether or not the Texans can cover the spread in this game. Joe, I'll be honest with you, and I know we're going to get to Pigskin Pick'em here in a minute. I have no idea, given the state of this Titans roster, what this game is going to look like for the Titans tomorrow. Not one clue.
I don't either. I don't share John's certainty that this is just going to be another physical beating. I don't, like, how do we know the Titans are going to be able to physically beat any NFL team with an offensive line that's never played together and has potentially three guys who could easily not be on an active roster right now? I mean, it's just so, as great as Derrick Henry is and has been in particular against them, that was still your starting offensive line, which was at the time consistently run blocking well. This is five dudes who probably don't know each other's names very well right now. Like, I mean, I know Munyer has been here before. I mean, we don't even know what it's going to look like. So I have a hard time just expecting this to be a Derrick Henry run wild game, but maybe it will be. And also, I mean, part of that is look, those teams probably did, like John said, take the Texans lightly. But the bottom line is the Texans still competed in those games. And it's clear that they are still trying to play this all the way out and trying to win football games.
I mean, let's just think about this for a second. And look, I do expect one of, if not both, of Aaron Brewer and or Nicholas Petit-Frere will be in there. Like, I'd be pretty surprised if both of them were out. But there's a chance that both of them could be out. And let's think about that scenario for a second. Like, Dennis Daly could be not only your most experienced offensive lineman, but your best offensive lineman, if that's the case in this game. Think about what that could mean for this Titans team.
Right. I mean, it's like, you know, of all the people, well, Dennis Daly's good. So you got that going for you, Titans. You know, it's like there'd be the one spot on the offensive line people would like to see some change. And that's the one spot, you know, you're going to have your starter there. And of course, again, Dylan Radins, it's a huge loss for the Titans, which is amazing to say that out loud. And maybe some people would disagree. Maybe Jared would disagree. He thinks he's still clinging to, you know, they only kept him to save face. I mean, he would be absolutely starting at left tackle right now or at left guard, right? I mean, he'd be starting, or I guess at right guard. There's so many possibilities right now. There's so many potential starting spots tackle open. Love that too. where he was, you know, was with the first team for most of camp. So that's just a massive, massive loss. And it's just hard to know what the heck this is going to look like. So this is an opportunity for Malik Willis. It's also an opportunity for Malik Willis to get hit a lot tomorrow. So I have, it's really hard to know what to expect. I do think that the Titans defensively not having a very good day would be surprising. I don't see where the Texans get a lot of points if the Titans aren't giving them points with like turnovers and stuff like that on offense.
Yeah. Like I think when you look at the defense in this game with Denico Autry coming back, like that's one thing I'm interested to see with Autry in there. Maybe Jeffrey Simmons is getting a little bit healthier with the ankle. You still have Bud Dupree, and honestly, you did a better job than I thought they were going to do last week of getting to the quarterback against Justin Herbert in that Chargers front. What will the reemergence of Denico Autry mean for this group and for this defense? Like, I feel like the Titans tomorrow, even with their situation in the secondary, and, you know, Amani Hooker's questionable, Christian Fulton's not going to be in there, they got some problems in the secondary, but this is a defensive front that I feel like should go out tomorrow and make life difficult for Texans offense. That's just not very good. And then you factor in the weather. I mean, there's a whole lot of reason for me to believe that we're not in for a very high scoring game coming up tomorrow at Nissan Stadium. I think I'm sticking with 13-10 is my prediction. 13-10. That's what I'm officially going with.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds reasonable. Autry, full participant two straight days. Simmons, full participant yesterday. I know there's not a lot to participate in, but still, that's a positive trend for Simmons. Obviously, it's a huge deal that Autry is not an injury designation. He's playing.
Yeah.
Those two, Dupree, you got the way Walker has played. You got Weaver. I mean, they could really, really lock down on that Texans offense. This is where it gets interesting with the whole, like, who do you play and who don't play? First of all, you have, like you said, Petit Frere and Brewer up front, okay? I mean, that could be a big difference, those two playing or not playing. They haven't been perfect, but, I mean, they're starters. Right. You know, we're talking Jordan Roos and Daniel Munyer, et cetera, if those guys, LaRaven Clark, I mean, it could be horrific up front tomorrow if those guys can't go. But defensively, a really interesting one, Amani Hooker. Knee, limited Tuesday, no play Wednesday, limited yesterday. He's questionable. If he plays, and I think because Andrew Adams is playing, if he plays, I think he's your slot corner, right? Trey Avery probably coming back, Roger McCreary. Like, the whole defense could look pretty good. But if he has to push himself to play in this game, and you might be able to look at a whole bunch of rest and a full speed Amani Hooker in the finale against Jacksonville. This is one of those guys that I look at and it's like, okay, again, I'm not saying rest someone, but I am saying if you're threatening to make something worse with tomorrow's game, when it's 99.9% sure that really tomorrow's game matters for your physical, for your mental state, it matters for momentum, but it doesn't matter to win the division. That's where I think I'd make the decision to not go with a guy like that.
Treylon Burks has been a full participant all week in practice. Still officially a questionable designation. I guess another hoop for him to jump through in the concussion protocol, but they need him out there tomorrow. And, you know, it's concussion protocol. There's only so much you can do about it. It's a good sign to me. He's been a full participant. I'd expect him to be in there, but they need him with this offense. They need Burks in there tomorrow if they're going to operate with any sort of efficiency, I think.
Without question. I think they'll have him. You know, I mean, he's full participant all week, missed two games. I think he should be good to go, barring a setback. And I think the same of Trey Avery. But, yeah, look, this is one thing Malik Willis hasn't had. He has not had Treylon Burks as a luxury. He has not had Rayson McMathieu either, I'd like to point out, called shot Friday.
He is not.
But, those two guys, if you aren't comfortable with everything with Malik Willis, but you like Malik Willis throwing the fade, like that's basically all they did against Kansas City, now you got those two guys. So instead of Conley and Westbrook-Ikhine out there, you have Burks and McMath. That could make a difference.
Coming up next, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em. We'll get to the Titans and Texans. Got a lot of bowl games that are on the table as well. Looking forward to the standings update. It was not a great week in Pigskin Pick'em for us last week. We'll try to do better this time. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. And let me tell you, Joe, not a great week last week for the crew. None of us doing very well. Michelle went 2-4 with no lock. I also went 2-4 with no lock. And Joe Rexrode, 1-5 with no lock. So put that one in the Hall of Fame for maybe one of the worst weeks we've ever had. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good for you. 1-5, no lock for Rexrode.
I'll take that.
So a quick standings update. Michelle Knezovic still in first place, 46-44 overall, 8-7 on her locks, good for 54 points. I am also 46-44 overall. I am 6-9 on my locks, good for 52 points. Joe Rexrode, 35-55, 4-11 on his locks, and 39 points on the season. So, Joe, you had some, what I would describe as positive momentum the last couple of weeks, and not great this past week.
Yeah, I guess I could, like, try another Costanza thing, but, like, at this point, who cares? You know, it's almost like just be as bad as you can possibly be.
Yeah, just go with your heart.
I mean, anybody out there who's basing any of their bets on me, you know, it's like you're way past help anyway.
With that in mind, let's get things rolling. We begin with the Hawaii Bowl, which sounds like a great place to be right now, given what's going on outside. MTSU taking on San Diego State. San Diego State is favored by 6.5 in this game. Michelle Knezovic, even though she's off today, has sent me her picks, and she is going with the Blue Raiders in this contest, plus the 6.5, going with MTSU, plus the 6.5 against San Diego State. Joe, I am up next, and as a proud MTSU alumni, I will also go with MTSU, plus the 6.5. Good for them for being in the Hawaii Bowl. Shout out to Rick Stockstill, one of the great guys in college football. I will go to MTSU, plus the 6.5 against San Diego State. Joe Rexrode, MTSU, taking on San Diego State in the Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah, I'll take San Diego State, if for no reason, other reason than this helps us not collectively jinx MTSU, so I'm doing my share.
Your work is noted and appreciated, Joe Rexrode. We move to the Titans and the Houston Texans tomorrow at Nissan Stadium, a game full of anticipation, the secondary market clamoring for tickets for this one between the Titans and the Texans. Titans favored by 3.5 in this one. I'll start on this one. Joe, I've said it. My final score prediction is 13-10 Titans. So because of that, I'm going to go with the Houston Texans to cover the spread at 3.5. So give me Houston plus the 3.5. Joe Rexrode, the Titans and the Texans. Titans favored by 3.5 points.
Yeah, I definitely understand that line of thinking. I mean, this might be 3-0. And that's asking Randy Bullock to hit a block of ice through the uprights. So you're going to have to be like inside the 10 probably. And all that said, I feel like there's a defensive touchdown or something, or a strip sack that gives you a short field. I feel like the Titans defense could really dominate this game. And there's no reason those guys shouldn't come with a tremendous effort in a matchup that is really good for them. Bad, banged up offensive line. The running backs hurt. The receivers are hurt. The quarterback's been bad most of the year. So I think the defense is going to manufacture enough to make up for an offense that I don't see doing much with Malik Willis and with that offensive line. But I will take the Titans.
Michelle Knezovic also going with the Titans in this matchup, minus the 3.5. So Joe and Michelle riding with the Titans, minus the 3.5. We move to the individual portion of the program. Four individual selections today. Joe, go ahead and kick us off with your first individual selection.
Lions at Panthers. Panthers plus 2.5. Panthers lock. You know why? Because and the Lions should go in and hammer that team. But you know what? It's the Detroit Lions. And I promise you all that before this season ends, the true identity of the Lions should be revealed.
Jeez, going with the lock with the Carolina Panthers plus the 2.5 over the Detroit Lions. Well, Michelle Knezovic, in direct opposition to you, going with the Detroit Lions minus the 2.5 over the Carolina Panthers. So head-to-head, between Joe Rexrode and Michelle Knezevic. My first individual selection, I'm going to go with Arkansas taking down the Kansas Jayhawks, -3. I'll go with Arkansas -3 points against Kansas. Sam Pittman and company getting it done. They win by about a touchdown. So I'll go Arkansas -3. Usually goes against my strategy, Joe. I hate picking bowl games because you never know what you're going to get in the bowl game. But I'm doing it anyway. And I've got other college football picks today, too. Arkansas -3 against Kansas. Joe Rexrode, your second individual selection.
Well, I'll go with a nice bowl. I'm on the Gasparilla Bowl. That's in Tampa today. Little Gasparilla Bowl. And Wake, Missouri, and I'm with you. It's hard to know. One thing, you know, who's available, what's the motivation level, and things like that. But you know what? When all else fails, I typically will go with the SEC. And in this case, I will go with the SEC. And you know what? I'm wearing a nice Star Wars Christmas sweater and Eli Drinkwitz with his lightsaber. Give me Mizzou +2.5.
I like it. I will go with UCF +3.5 against Duke in the Military Bowl. UCF, Gus Malzahn and company, I think that they win this game outright. So I'll go with UCF +3.5 against Duke. Michelle Knezevic's second individual selection, the Cincinnati Bengals -3 against the New England Patriots. And Michelle is locking down on Cincinnati -3 points against the Patriots. So I think I'm missing something in that one because that one's a good pick. I feel like Cincinnati should be a little bit heavier of a favorite in that game. Just me.
Yeah, it is a little bit surprising. What's up with that?
I'm not sure. We'll see what happens on that front. My third individual selection, and this one hurts, Joe, but I also believe that it's reality. Give me the Miami Dolphins -3.5 against the Green Bay Packers and make it my lock. I'm locking down on the Miami Dolphins against the Packers. It's been a nice story from the Packers the last couple of weeks. They took down a terrible Chicago Bears team and a terrible LA Rams team. I think you're going to have some problems with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill coming up in this game, so I'll go with the Dolphins -3.5, and I will lock down on that. Joe Rexrode, your third individual selection.
So you're trying to motivate your Packers with your lock is what you're trying to do.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, all right. Well, we know how much power we have on this radio station. Just ask Jared. Seahawks at Chiefs. Chiefs are -10. I think the Chiefs are going to win, but I don't think the Seahawks are toast. I don't think they're done, and I don't think the Chiefs are playing great right now. So I actually think this is going to be a pretty good football game. I think the Chiefs win by a touchdown, but I will take the nice 10 points with the Seahawks there.
Michelle Knezevic is right there with you, going with the Seahawks plus the 10 points as well. Michelle will kick us off in our final round of individual selections as well. The Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. As we know, Joe, it will be the Gardner Minshew show coming up, not Jalen Hurts in this game. So Michelle taking the Dallas Cowboys -4 points in this matchup against Philadelphia. Joe Rexrode, your final individual selection.
Yeah, that one is a tough one. I don't know what to think about that game. I mean, the Cowboys technically are still alive. Obviously, they have to win this game. That's an interesting one. I'm going to go Commanders Niners. And this is at San Francisco. Commanders got hosed a little bit this week. You know, the PI that could have been called. I mean, you can screenshot anything and it looks so blatant. It was very bang bang, but the receiver lining up, asking the ref to like let him know, and then the ref saying yep, and then throwing the flag is so weird. Like, what the heck happened there?
Yeah.
But I do wonder now how the Commanders respond to that. That's a crushing loss for them. And I just think the Niners are really good right now. They're -6.5. I think the Niners are going to roll in this game. Give me the Niners, and I'll give the points.
So I'm going to go with North Carolina +14.5 against Oregon in the Holiday Bowl. I think 14.5 in that game is a big line. And quite frankly, I shouldn't do this, but I do it. I just don't trust the Pac-12. I'll just be totally honest with you. Don't trust the Pac-12. So I will go with North Carolina +14.5 against Oregon. I don't think that North Carolina is going to win outright, but I think that's a pretty big line in that game. So give me North Carolina +14.5 against the Ducks. And now congratulations to the Oregon Ducks they'll probably win by about 30.
Yeah. No, I like that pick. That the half, the hook, the hook there is a key. The hook. Yes. No, I like that pick. I think it's a better. I think that's going to be a decent game.
This has been Pigskin Pick'em. You can check it out every Friday morning at 9:30 here on the program. We will attempt to have a better week than we did this time a week ago, and looking forward to next week's Pigskin Pick'em as well. More NFL games, but we'll also have the Orange Bowl next week with Tennessee taking on Clemson and some college football playoff games as well. So winding down on Pigskin Pick'em, it's getting down to crunch time. Coming up next, we'll give our final thoughts on the Titans and the Texans. Look ahead to the Preds and Avalanche tonight. Take your thoughts as well on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Josh from Florida on the text line says, I know I'm late, but I'm calling my shot. Malik Willis will get his first throwing touchdown and rushing touchdown on Saturday for the Tennessee Titans. That would be very good news for Malik Willis, if that's the case, Joe Rex Road. So you're going with the Titans, -3.5 in this game. I agree with you that the defense very well could tip the scales in the favor of the Titans in this game, maybe more so than I'm thinking.
Yeah, and look, I think, go back to what John McClain said earlier, and I think there's it's worth considering in this situation. The Chiefs, you know, I know Patrick Mahomes is like going home to Houston, but you know, the Chiefs thought they were going to go in and win that game by 30. And the last two opponents have had no reason to think the Texans would put up any kind of fight. And so the game's kind of played out that way. The Titans right now are absolutely rabid, starving, wild dogs, you know, looking for a tiny piece of meat called a victory. And, I think that mindset and that desperation for a win also is a pretty big contrast probably to the last two opponents played the Texans. So I think between that, a healthier defense, that's the thing. I mean, through all the injury issues, which are just incredible, and they are heavily skewed on the offensive side of the ball right now, this is the healthiest the defense has been in a while, especially if Simmons is starting to, you know, get a little bit stronger. So that, with what the Texans are trotting out there in offense, I mean, this could be, like, if you're the Titans, you know, you could look at this game, you could realistically potentially get a shutout here.
What do you think, and we've talked about
the, I don't mean to disrespect your guy, Davis Mills.
Well, I'm about to say, this could be the last time we see Davis Mills playing in this stadium, and I hope that there's, you know, a proper respect shown towards that as we look at it tomorrow. I'm looking forward to recapping that coming up next week. But I am interested, like Todd Downing-wise, you brought it up, and I agree with you. I do think it's a big opportunity for him. I don't know how much that's going to matter with the fan base, but ultimately, like, the way that Vrabel and the organization feel about it are what's most important when it comes to the Todd Downing decision at the end of this year. I am interested to see how this game plan is either tailored towards Malik Willis or maybe some different wrinkles they have, what it looks like offensively with Malik Willis. And not just Malik Willis, but now knowing that he's going to be the guy moving forward here for the rest of this year, does that change the way you start to operate things at all if you're Todd Downing in this offense? I'm intrigued to see.
Yeah, and, you know, a tough thing there is, yeah, if you are going to sort of switch and at least, you know, emphasize some things over other things, you know, if you're sitting there with just a totally rebuilt one-time offensive line, it's not going to help you much when you get to Jacksonville. But regardless, I mean, you want Derrick Henry to end up getting the ball a whole bunch tomorrow. But if it's in tandem with the quarterback threat as something that the defense has to consider, the quarterback run threat, I mean, I think that's a smart thing to do. And If Malik Willis pulls it a few times, like TD was saying earlier, and he has some space, Malik Willis can absolutely torch a defense with space like that. So use that to your advantage. And I would say the rest of the season, use that to your advantage. You have to try. You have to you'd have to be able to manufacture 20 plus points, I would say, to win the one game left in the on the season that really matters in the finale at Jacksonville.
Joe Pret's taking on the Avalanche tonight at Bridgestone Arena, looking for their third consecutive win. Big one tonight for the Preds. Interested to see how they can respond offensively. Can you keep things going? Matt Duchene started to heat up a little bit. Philip Forsberg, need to get him going. Like Forsberg, again, you look at the numbers and they're not that bad from a production standpoint. Goal scoring's got to pick up. But more than anything, like, and I know you watched him pretty closely on Tuesday against Edmonton. Like he's not been as noticeable as he normally is lately. Like Philip Forsberg needs to be a guy that you notice on a game-by-game basis, taking over out there at times. And it doesn't necessarily always mean that he's going to score. But the Predators, they need more from Philip Forsberg than they've gotten recently.
Yeah, I mean, he had a nice butt check. But yeah, you got to have more, without question. As far as I know, he hasn't been hurt. You know, and that's always been the big thing with him is, you know, can he avoid like the injury that takes him out for, you know, 12, 15, 17 games in a season. He just hasn't been as impactful. So I don't see how this team gets where it wants to be and gets back into a strong position if Forsberg scoring isn't a part of that.
Yeah, I think it's a great point to make there. And we'll see how they respond to that tonight. You know, it's going to be a banged up Colorado team. Predators, you know, have started to get healthier. McDonough's back in there. You've got your six on defense that you feel good about right now. So we'll see if the Predators can continue their offensive streak tonight. They've had two games in a row where they've scored at least four goals. So we'll see what happens on that front. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Matt on the text line says, Joe's true identity is an idiot. This from Matt Q. Go Lions. Thank y'all. This from Matt on the text line. I appreciate the thank y'all to end that text message.
Oh, these Lions fans. You know, look, man, I used to be among you. So have sympathy for you, Matt. I do. You can't talk some people into having a better life. You can't talk some people into living for them, living for today, you know, living your best life. Some people still want to continue to cheer for the Detroit Lions. I can't stop you, Matt, but I just want you to know I will not gloat and taunt you specifically or call you an idiot when the Lions do what they will inevitably do. I will not do that. I will not go personal with it. I will keep my venom pointed toward the Lions because they are the ones who have ruined so many lives.
So I want to point out 7-7. They got three games left. Washington's at 7-6-1. The Seahawks are at 7-7. They're right there for a playoff berth, baby. They got the Panthers coming up this weekend.
It's actually perfect. It's like all these people picking to go to the playoffs. Then it's like it looks like they might be like the worst team in the league. And then they have this surge and people get excited. And it's just gonna be like, I'm going to laugh. I'm not going to laugh at you, Matt, even though you called me an idiot. I'm not going to laugh at you individually, but I'm going to laugh. I'm going to cackle when they blow this.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty amazing to watch. I'm excited to see what happens on that front. Joe, Merry Christmas to you and your family. We're going to be obviously off on Monday, the day after Christmas. We'll be back in on Tuesday with our show, but lots to get to over the weekend in the sports world. But Merry Christmas to you and the family. Nick, Merry Christmas to you as well. I've not watched Christmas Vacation yet to this point. I'm probably going to make sure that happens tonight, given the fact that I don't think I could leave my house right now based on the iciness of my driveway. But Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, and it was glad to be with you guys this morning.
Joe, you win best dress for the day.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you too and to everybody listening. Thank you. Everybody be very careful out there. The back roads, you know, when it's this cold as a Midwesterner, I can tell you the black ice can be really problematic. So be very careful on the back roads in particular.
Be very careful on the back roads. Is there a Christmas movie of choice that either of you will be watching? Nick, we'll start with you. Any Christmas movie that's going to be a go-to later today?
Robbie, I guarantee you, you could probably guess what I would want to watch.
Is it Miracle?
Probably.
There we go.
That
I figured.
That or probably Elf. I know Joe looks like Buddy today, so he I may watch it just because Joe dressed up.
Joe is very inspirational, not only with his outfit, but with his voice.
Yes, Elf is elite, but Elf and Christmas Vacation, those are two that you can't miss, and those will both be we'll have both of those going. We had John McClane on earlier, by the way, and we know that John McClane was in a movie that is not a Christmas movie, but I know some people will probably go on the text line and say it is right now.
I did not expect you to make a John McClane joke today on the Christmas movie, but you did. Very well done by you. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. We'll be back coming up on Tuesday. Like I said, I think it's going to be a busy weekend in the world of sports. We'll see what the Preds can do as they take on the Colorado Avalanche. Godspeed to all of you going out tomorrow to Nissan Stadium to watch the Titans and the Texans play against each other. Going to be a very cold day at Nissan Stadium. Interested to see what it looks like from a crowd standpoint and to see what the Titans are able to do on that front as well. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.